Okay, I got to ask this right up front. How many have set a New Year's resolution to lower your body fat? Brave people, raise their hands, okay? How many got any New Year's resolutions about your health or your eating or exercise? Okay, some of you just lying in the house of God. I just want to find out who needed to repent this morning, too. It's great to see you on the first day of 2017, with an awesome beginning to our time of worship with our band, and just so grateful to be here, and it's so cool to have you here. This is just monumental. I'm so excited about this year, and we're going to be talking a little bit about that in a moment, but it's just really cool. How was your Christmas break? Everybody have a good one? Man, we got to get away for a few days this past week. We actually went up in North Tennessee and the mountains. We went with our kids, including our nearly perfect grandson named Grayson William Fields, in case you haven't met him yet. And he actually got to see snow. It snowed on us. But the coolest thing we did, we went to this big slope deal, and it was, well, Grayson and my bride Lindy called it snoobing. You know what snoobing is? Snow tubing. Anybody ever done snow tubing? Wild, okay? You start out on this little kiddie slope, okay, which was, I was very comfortable on that. I was good. We could have just stayed right there, you know? And you leap off, and you go down, and oh, that was fun, yay. But then you graduate and finally get to the big daddy slope. And when you jump off of that puppy, it's on, baby. It's get the women and kids off the streets because I'm coming in hot. I'm not slowing down. They tell you to drag your feet. You could drag your feet plumb off your legs, but you ain't slowing down. You know what I'm saying? Well, I was thinking about that. We were on the way home yesterday, and I thought, that's so much like the Gathering Church. In August of 2007, August 12th, on a Sunday, we got on the kiddie slope, and we launched as a church. We met in five different locations, and we baptized countless numbers of people in anything from a Walmart inflatable pool to heated pool at Holiday Inn to backyard pools. And now we got our own baptistry. We can set it up anywhere and baptize anytime. Praise the Lord. We've begged and we've borrowed. We've never stolen, but we beg and borrowed. We've done everything we could, just short of sin, to pursue our dream of connecting people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Things like gas giveaways, Saturday night church. Anybody remember Saturday night church? It was awesome. I love Saturday night church. And things like bouncy houses and crazy things for our kids and dramas and skits and free iPads on Easter. I personally believe, I think I get a lot of support on this, we got the best free breakfast bar in town every Sunday morning. Can I get a praise on that one? Yeah. Fantastic kids team that does amazing things week in and week out. Our worship arts team, you guys are just beyond amazing. You love worshiping us so much in that corporate time together. We got so much to be blessed. Our staff that loves you and loves Jesus, we're so blessed. Maybe the greatest thing is that we've seen from the very beginning of the church at least one person come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior every single Sunday, on average. Is that something or what? Can you give God a praise for that? I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds come every month just trying to get help with this thing called life. And we do our best to try to give everyone something they can take home and use on Monday from God's Word. And then hundreds have gotten into Grow Track and been a part of that. Hundreds more serve week in and week out sacrificially, loving what they're doing, and it shows. I mean, God has just been so cool. So we've taken a lot of big jumps. We've hit a lot of different slopes. God's always having something for us to do that it takes faith to do. But in August of 2015, we got on the Big Daddy slope, and we jumped. And we haven't come in hot yet, but we are flying through the air. We chose as a church to purchase 15 acres of property just south of here on US 19, across from all the yellow and green tractors and things, you know. And we've also on that property was 11,000 square feet of worship center in bad need of repair. We started work on that early last year, and then 2 or 3 months later started constructing the Kidsville Worship Center. The adult worship center is almost ready, and things are going to be changing rapidly. This year has unlimited potential for the Gathering Church, and we're going to be talking more and more about that as we get into the next few weeks and first part of this year. But we're going to move in by faith at the end of this month, and we're going to be tight in that 11,000 square foot area till we get the Kidsville place settled and built finished and all that good stuff. And then it's even going to be more phenomenal. But I can't wait. You need to be praying because God has some big things in store for us. And that's what we're up to as a church. But I want to challenge you for a few moments this morning. What about you? You know, where are you headed? I know that something my wife, Lindy, has told me at different times that so encourages me. In fact, she told me this morning. And she didn't even know what I was going to be preaching totally yet. Especially after a bad day, she would wake up in the morning. She said, Randy, today's the first day of the rest of your life. That's what today is. January 1st, 2017. Can you believe it? It's the first day of the rest of your life. Turn to your neighbor and look them in the eye and say, what are you going to do with it? Go ahead. What are you going to do with it? And I want you to think about that this morning, because that's exactly where the Apostle Paul was, stuck in a prison. It was the first day of the rest of his life. He didn't know what was going to happen, but I want to share with you what he did. He wrote these incredible words in Philippians chapter 3. If you got your Bibles, it'll be on the screen. Starting in verse 13, he said, brothers, sisters too, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. He was saying there's more to this in life that I want to accomplish, I want to do, but read these five words with me that are highlighted there. But one thing I do. And what an awesome thought. So I've got all these things I can do, want to do, and need to do, but I'm just going to narrow it down to this one thing. And then he says, forgetting what's behind. And for Paul, that was a big, big, big deal because his past was messed up. Anybody got a messed up past? I'll raise my hand. Okay, he'd killed Christians, imprisoned them. He'd done all kinds of tough things. Okay, what about your 2016? Are there some things you want to just forget? You want to move past? He says, forgetting what is behind and straining. That's a physical, like I'm going after this, straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal. Not going to just come. I'm going to take some steps to get there, to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's focus. That's some serious clarity. Great example for you and I. That's why I want to challenge you today as we begin this year, and as I'm challenging myself to follow Paul's example and go for it. And listen to something before we jump in. Whatever happened yesterday, whatever should have happened that didn't, all those goals and aspirations that maybe you set and charted out, but then they never even came close to accomplishing. Look, I just want you to know, we've got a God who's a God of the second chance. We've got a God who's always underneath the hoop. And when you miss the shot, he's the one that rebounds it, and he passes it right back to you. And he says, shoot again. Don't stop shooting. You keep shooting. He's a God of second chances. Can I get another big praise for that? Y'all, you need to be happy about that and excited. That's who he is, and he's just amazing. And so this is so important because as you grow older and get later in life, it's so easy to say, I'm done. This isn't going to happen. I'm finished. But that's not true, because with God, nothing is impossible. All things are possible with God. And regardless of what you may be facing in 2017, some of us may know, some of us don't know what all is going to go down this year. Look, 2017 can be the best yet. Now, I want to give you one more thing on this forgetting thing, because Isaiah just really lasered down on it in chapter 43. Look what he said, verse 18. Forget the former things. Step away from the things of 2016. Step away from anything that's dragging you down. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. That's the God that we know and love and serve. He's a God of the new. Isaiah says now, as in right now, this is fact. God is creating a moment for you and I. He's creating brand new opportunities for us. And he's setting all these things right before us. The time is now. It springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Do you see it? Do you know that it's right there? And God asks us this question because most of us don't see it. Studies have proven, this may shock some of you, 87% actually of Christians never get past the salvation experience. Translated, almost 90% of all Christians never live a life of fulfillment and purpose. Do you not perceive it? Do you not see it? It's right there. God's got something for you, even in this service this morning, this day, and this week, and this year, and especially, I'm so convinced of this. My spirit's just doing backflips over what God wants to do beginning next Sunday through 21 days of prayer and fasting. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. Before we even get to more of that, I want you to start this year out by asking yourself a question. If you've taken notes, it's there. Here it is. What one thing, if changed, would make the biggest difference in my life? What one thing, if it changed, or one thing maybe that went away, would make the biggest difference in my life? You might be thinking, Randy, why are you asking that question today? Because as your pastor, that I want you to experience the most amazing life ever. I want you to live a life that makes a difference. I want you to experience the best year in 2017 of your entire lifetime. And my job, and Eric and Michael's job as pastors and other leaders, and our church's job is to cheer you on, to give you some tools that you can put your hands on and some resources so that you can go for that. Paul talked about having this one thing. What is that one thing for you this morning? You know, every time we get to a brand new year, I think it's kind of cool that today is actually January 1, and we could talk about this. There's always some things that we think about and we come up with that we need to do something about. Anybody got a bad habit that you want to get rid of? Come on, confess it. Some of you just will not be honest. We all got at least one, don't we? But why not get rid of the bad habit and form some good ones? How about some relationships? Anybody got some folks that maybe you're spending too much time with that you really don't need to because they're really dragging you down or they're getting you in things you shouldn't? Why not get out of those and start some fresh relationships? And then there's this thing called debt. I'm not going to make you raise your hand on this, but how many are overspending and in too much debt? Stop talking about it and do something about it. Get a budget, streamline your spending, and begin to snowball the debt and experience some financial freedom. And then there's health. If I had just $1 for every time I've ever said I need to exercise, we would owe nothing on that property, and all those buildings would be finished in a state-of-the-art fine, because I'd just give it all there, and it would take care of it and then some. Okay, let's stop talking about it. Why not eat right? You are what you eat. Why not take care of the temple that God gave us? Why not exercise? Why not get some proper rest? And then what about your dreams? Is there still something deep, deep down that's screaming to get out? Maybe it's a ministry. Maybe it's a business idea. Maybe it's something else, whatever it is. Here's a promise. If you'll let us, we'll give you every tool and every resource possible. And as you honor God first, 2017 really does have the potential to be the best year yet in your life. Read this verse with me that we just did to begin with. Let's all say it out loud. It's in Philippians 3, verse 13. Brothers, come on. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. If you really, really, really want to be successful this year, or successful in any area of your life, you can't leave God out. You can't do it. It's impossible. Because you're a spiritual being, and if you've experienced the frustration of ever trying to live life without God being number one, without His presence, being at the center of who you are, then you discovered that your efforts, they just didn't get it done, did they? Today, I want you to know there's something available to you that's so real, it's so powerful, it's so energizing, that you can live not a natural life, but according to God's word, you can live a supernatural life. That's what God wants for us, and that's what He has for us. A life where you're going to look back one day and go, wow, how did all that happen? Only God could have done it. That's why in the Bible, if you ask this question, what's the one thing that if you did it, it would change your life the most, you're going to get all kinds of responses like this one. from King David in Psalms 27:4. It's one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. One thing I ask of the Lord, David said, this is what I seek. This is my priority in life, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in his presence all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple, that his priority was to spend time with God. And David said, I figured it out. The closer I get to Jesus, the more empowered I become to accomplish all the things that are on my list. So only one thing is needed. Or you think, Randy, what's your one thing this year? It's not profound. My one thing this year is to get closer, the closest I've ever been to Jesus in my entire life, to cultivate that intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit, because I realized in my life, it's not going to get done without that. That if I want to be all that God made me to be, that's the one thing that I need to be pursuing. And in fact, that's really my goal, my desire, and my prayer for each of you as we begin 21 days of prayer and fasting next Sunday, that you'll just get closer to Jesus, maybe even closer than you've ever been. I love that song, Cookie, that you led a while ago, Closer. Man, it's one of my favorite songs, Closer and Closer. We want to know you, reaching out, making that effort to get to him, here in your presence, Lord, in the light, come alive. Because we're not there yet. That's why Paul said, not having already obtained it yet, I press on this one thing I do. And what's that one thing? I got to get closer. So if you're serious, I would like to say where I grew up, if you're dead dog serious, like super serious about experiencing the best of your life in 2017, then you need to get intentional about making this year your best year spiritually. As we blast into the new year, I'm challenging you to purpose right now to kick it off next Sunday with 21 days of prayer and fasting. They even have a box on your connection card you can check that says, I'm in. We're not going to hold you accountable or follow you around to see if you're bowing three times a day and praying to the north or whatever. We're just going to encourage you. So check that box before you leave this morning. There's a story in the Bible, and Jesus just really, he lays this out with this story. It's so cool. He's traveling with his closest guys, call them the disciples, and they go into this town, and they get invited into this home. Let's start it in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha. Now, some of you know this story. So I'm just going to tell you straight up, before you start getting on her case and really, you know, looking down on her, she's the one that initiated Jesus coming over in the first place. She's the one exercising some great hospitality here. She's the one, as the Bible tells us, that opened her home to him. Here's where it gets good. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet. Perfect picture of how to get close to Jesus. What was she doing? Listening to what he said. But Martha was what? What's the word? Turn to your neighbor and say, I never get distracted. You for sure just lied like a dog right here in the house of God, didn't you? But Martha was distracted. Okay, we all struggle with it. By all the preparations that had to be made. She's in the kitchen. She's fixing this. This has got to be right, and this has got to be perfect, you know. But what happened? She came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me high and dry? I'm stuck here in the kitchen while she's sitting on her rear end just looking at you. Man, tell her to get up and come help me. I'm just stuck doing it by myself. And he goes, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. You're worried and upset about many things. You're focused on all the wrong things because you're doing all this over here and all this over here and all this out there, and you're zoned in and you're so preoccupied. You're so distracted, but only one thing is needed. Funny, it's the same one thing that King David sought, the same one thing that the Apostle Paul pursued, the same one thing that anybody that allowed God to do something great in them that they were focused in on. And let me say this too, the habits, the relationships, the debt, the health, all those things, those are important. But until you choose to make this one thing, getting closer to Jesus, the priority, you're not going to accomplish, you're not going to overcome those things. What did Jesus say? Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. from this story, we get three things. I want you to jot them down in your notes this morning. Three decisions. And if we choose to make them, they're going to, at the very least, jumpstart us into getting closer to Jesus Christ. Here's the first one. I have decided to make the most of the new year. I've decided to make the most of the new year, the most of the opportunity. Because think about it. With every new year, we get a fresh start. This is like the first day of the year. It's just like Martha had. We've got an opportunity. Jesus in the flesh, and don't miss this, he was in her house. But where was she? She was stuck in the kitchen. That's where she was hanging out. It's like we live in the greatest country still with all of our problems. We're still the greatest country on the face of this earth by far. We get to be a part of a great church, not because of me or any of the staff or whatever, but because we serve a great God. We get to be a part of a great church because of all of us. This is a brand new day. You've got a new lease on life. Every day is precious. And there's some big time opportunities right here. And more that God's going to bring up for you this year. Don't get stuck in the kitchen. Don't get stuck in the busyness and the craziness and of all the distractions that can come up in life. Don't miss the opportunity. Another familiar passage maybe for some, but it just spells this out for us. Ephesians 5. Verse 15, be very careful. Pay attention or you'll miss it. Some of us really need to hear this morning. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every, what's that word? Opportunity. It's the Greek word kairos. And it literally means a window of opportunity. What do windows do? They open and they shut. So you have this moment to seize the opportunity. You got an opportunity right now, first day, brand new year. We're going to put some incredible opportunities before you this year that honestly you should take advantage of. Why? Because the days are evil. And I want to give you a dare. I don't often dare you, but I want to dare you this morning. Give us 1 year. Give us 1 year and totally, fully engage with your church. If you're not involved in a church, then fully engage in this church. Just go all in. Man, be faithful in attendance. Dive into a community group. Choose to get close and transparent with some other folks just like you. But this is the secret sauce of spiritual growth. And right now, we've begun a time of registering to lead a group. Or if you're leading a group right now, you need to go register. It's a great time. But get in a group and do that. Do the growth track if you haven't. If you've not finished it, finish the growth track. Get on the dream team. Serve in an area that you're gifted in, you're passionate about, and go for it. Jump in on the activities and events. Hey, learn the principle of generosity. You want to be happy? Everybody says, I want to be happy. Here's how you get happy. Learn the principle of generosity. Take God at his word. Tithe and give offerings. Try to outgive him. I had somebody tell me this week, said, man, God's blessed me. I want to give more to the church. You know what I've learned? I can't outgive God. Jump in, be an active, supporting, participating member of your church. And then at the end of this year, if you've done all that, and you come to me and you say, Randy, nothing's changed. I'm the exact same person I was a year ago. You know what? I'll go find another church with you. Okay? But it's not going to happen. And that's why I can confidently give you that dare. The truth is, you're just one step away from the best year of your life. Just one step. If you'll understand and seize your opportunity, Jesus is in your house. He's right there in front of you. Now, all I'm encouraging you to do is go all in and see if this could be your best year ever. Here's a summary of that first decision we're going to make. I have decided that 2017 will be the best year of my life because it's going to be the best year spiritually of my life. That's how it happens. And you can take it to the bank. I'm going to tell you why that's true. When your spirit man is dominating the other two parts that make up you, and you may not know this, but that would be your body and your soul / emotions. When the spirit man, and that goes for ladies too, okay, your spirit being that God's put in there, when it's dominating those other two, it's going to translate into this, not just the best year of your life, but the best life ever. It's going to translate into what you can't even imagine, because you're a spiritual being and you're like temporarily housed in this physical being, truth. Our great God wants to use you in a great way. God's all over greatness. And you can turn around and look at each other and tell each other you are great because of who God is and because he made you, and you are, regardless of where you're at. Here's the second decision. I've decided to get rid of every distraction. Every distraction. I've decided to do what Martha should have done. And here's the reason. When you're distracted, you miss opportunity. Every time you get distracted, you miss an opportunity. Martha was convinced that her beef stroganoff was the most important thing in her life at that moment. And look what she missed. She missed Jesus right there. Have you ever stopped and just thought about all the good things that we get into that cause us to miss the best things? That's why the devil, he's not gonna try to destroy you with bad things. He's going to destroy you by distracting you with good things. If there's something that I could change, but I can't, only each of us making a choice to surrender it all to God can change this. But if I could change this, this is the one thing I'd change in people's lives, because I've seen this. I don't know how many times in all the years of ministry that families, people come in and they get so zoned in. God does something in their life and their own fire, and they're in the Word and they're serving and they're making a difference and they're getting outside themselves. The kids, the families are right here. But then one good thing, and a lot of good things out there, there's nothing wrong with good things. It's how we prioritize them. They'll get off on doing something. And over time, no matter what, how much I pray and how much I want, they end up way over here. And they end up missing the best things. And it's because it's easy to get into that stuff. It happens to me too. But then we get distracted and we miss opportunities. Things like social media, video games, we could make a list, couldn't we? How about treading, dare I, on the sacred ground? I guess I can, because both Georgia and FSU won yesterday, so I can talk about it, right? So hang on. You don't want to expose yourself too early here. That sacred term, football, South Georgia. I've had grown men tell me, Randy, I love football, but I can take it or leave it. I'm like, really? Well, how about fasting from football beginning next Sunday? Oh, wait a minute. Like Alabama, Clemson, Monday night, national championship, NFL playoffs. Hey, I'll fast from football in March. Right. I heard Chris Hodges, Pastor Chris Hodges, say this, and I so agree with him. I love football. I really do. But I've never seen more people, including big, strong, grown men, let their entire emotional state be controlled by a 20-year-old in pads. Man, don't go there. Don't do that. I mean, have fun with it, but don't put your hope there. It will let you down. Don't be distracted. The Bible says this in Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Who are the witnesses? Every loved one that you've got in heaven. According to the Bible, they're watching you right now. They're cheering you on. They're applauding. So let us throw off everything, all the distractions that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And just like Paul, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Meaning, I'm going to get rid of everything that distracts me. Get rid of the distractions. Seize the opportunities. We start off every single year, as I've been mentioning this morning, with 21 days of prayer and fasting. And most everybody, even those that don't know Jesus, they know something about prayer. But not many people really know what fasting is. We've got some great resources on our website. Go to it and read about fasting and read some good books. Bill Bright has an incredible book on fasting. You can get it on Amazon. Get schooled on this, because this is huge. This is a huge component of drawing close to God, to Jesus, and that relationship. I want to just give you a few things about it. Fasting is not, contrary to popular belief, seeing how much I can punish my body. Fasting is all about getting rid of distractions. That's what it is. And it's setting aside a period of time. We like 21 days because it takes 21 days to create a new habit. Okay, and Daniel really, you know, epitomized this in the Bible. But take 21 days. Like, say, for the next 21 days, I'm not going to go to the movies. For the next 21 days, I'm not going to watch the news. Praise God. I'm not going to get into social media. For 21 days, I'm going to set aside my favorite foods and not eat them. I'm going to do it so I'm not distracted. I want to focus on you, Lord. I want to make you my focus this time period. See, fasting is finding that thing that's distracting you the most and saying, Lord, I don't love it as much as I love you. And so for the next 21 days, I'm just going to lay it down. I'm just going to walk away from it. I'm encouraging everybody that's remotely a part of our church and anybody else that wants to join in with us starting next Sunday. Let's dive into 21 days of prayer and fasting. And we're going to have some resources for you. We have, I love to wear this wristband. We've got a bunch of those available. If you want one, I know some are out there at guest services now. It says Pray First, okay? We've got prayer guides. We're going to do some other things too, and we'll have those laid out as we begin next week. But listen to me. Don't get discouraged in the whole fasting thing. I remember one year we were doing it, and I got a phone call one evening from a guy in the church. He said, and he was upset. I mean, I thought somebody had died or something. I thought it was bad. He said, and it was for him. He said, man, I blew it. I said, what's going on? He said, I made it 4 days fasting from sweets. And he said, I couldn't help it. I went by Bread Wagon. It called my name. I bought a red velvet cake. I went home. I ate the whole thing. I'm done. And I didn't laugh, I promise. I said, man, it's okay. It's all right. God still loves you. Just start back tomorrow. And I'm thinking he probably would be too sick to eat anything tomorrow anyway. But jump back on the wagon, you know, and go for it. Look, go for it. Let me break it down for you. Here's three types of fast. You can jot them down real quick. Full fast. This is for the serious people fasting. If you haven't ever fasted, you don't need to jump into this right away. It's where you go all in. You don't eat basically anything. You do like a juice fast or something for a day or a few days or a week or maybe the whole 21 days. The most extreme form is to do water only. Do not, I repeat, do not do a full fast without a doctor's supervision. Then there's a partial fast. So where you fast from certain kinds of foods, you know, those that are favorite foods of yours. Like I hate sauerkraut, so I always fast from sauerkraut for 21 days. Right? No, you fast from things that are going to pull at you. You got to. If it's not a sacrifice, it doesn't count, okay? Or maybe it's a whole meal. Maybe you do lunch. You know, you have a favorite lunchtime one day of the week. Just fast from that and spend some time with the Lord or combine something. Then there's the Daniel fast. Basically, the best way to say this, there's a lot of different versions and variables, but it's staying away from meats, sweets, and bread. And I just heard the gasp in some of you. It's not easy, but you can do this. Meats, sweets, and bread. You stay away from it. And you can even mix some of these three up, and there's some great recipes out there. I've done this. I'm telling you, it's attainable in God. But here's the point. Here's the whole deal right here. This is what you're going to experience. Every time you say no to whatever that is that draws you or distracts you, and you say yes to Jesus, you go spend some time with him, listen to me, it's going to change your life. It's going to change your life. In 21 days, you'll see something happen that maybe you've never seen happen before in your entire life. But you've got to make the choice to not be stuck in the kitchen and choose to go sit at the feet of Jesus and spend time with him. Realize that opportunity. Here's the summary for this one. I have decided that I'm not going to let anything that will ultimately mean nothing keep me from experiencing what means everything. We'll read it again. I have decided that I'm not going to let anything that will ultimately mean nothing, all these things that are going to pass away on this earth, keep me from experiencing what means everything. Holy Spirit, open our eyes. Open my eyes to see the truth and the wonder and the power in this. It's going to be an awesome year. Three words, I have decided. Say them out loud with me. I have decided. Here's the third one. I have decided to prioritize the presence of Christ in my life. Prioritize the presence of Christ in all of my life. What does this mean? It means I'm going to prioritize what the Bible says to do. I'm going to prioritize coming to church on Sundays. I'm going to prioritize engaging and participating. I'm going to prioritize serving God on Monday and Tuesday and living for Him every day of my life. It's living a God-centered life, a God-included life. It's Jesus being not a part of my life, but the center of my life, the hub where everything else comes from. And here's where you begin. There's not a blank because I want you to physically just write this out in capital letters. This is where you begin. Pray first. Pray first. We talked a lot about that for the last few years and preached some messages on it. What does praying first mean? It simply means don't let prayer be your last resort. Let it be your first response. That's where you start. Before you get out of the house, pray first. Before you get to work, before you get to school, students, pray first. Before that big test, before that appointment or that big presentation at work or the big decision you're going to make, pray first. Before you hit send on that email, somebody needs this one, pray first. Before you respond to somebody that hurts you or something bad that happens, pray first. All I want is to be closer and closer. I just want to know Jesus more. Paul said he had this one thing. And what was it? We actually find it in the two verses before the passage that I read. Check this out in Philippians 3, chapter 3, verse 7. I once thought these things were valuable. Like, I used to think my cool car or cool truck was valuable. I used to think shopping or really nice clothes were valuable. I used to think football or some other sport or all that was valuable. My boyfriend, my girlfriend. I used to think those things were valuable. But now, I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. And watch this. Yes, everything is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. When I realized Jesus was in my house, all of a sudden, lunch wasn't so important. For His sake, 21 days of prayer and fasting, I've discarded everything else. I'm counting it all as garbage. I guess that's what I'm asking you to do beginning next Sunday. Just give Jesus 3 weeks and count everything else as garbage compared to knowing Him. Why? So that I could gain Christ. Sum this last one up. I've decided to live every day of my life with Jesus at the center of all I am and all I do. I'm going to live every moment of every day with Jesus right here at the center. When I fall down, I'm going to get right back up. When I miss the basket, I'm going to catch the pass from Him, and I'm going to keep shooting. Not maybe having already obtained it yet, but I'm going to press on. I'm going to strain towards that goal of knowing Jesus more. This one thing I do, only one thing is needed. Count on it. You get close to Jesus this year, and it will be the best year ever. Won't you close your eyes? The band's going to come up, and we're going to stand and have an opportunity just to punctuate making this choice for this new year to pursue this one thing. But I want to challenge you. As we do, don't take this lightly. The fact that you chose to even get out of bed on New Year's Day and come to church says a lot about your heart for God. Whatever it is for you, take that next step. Whatever it is, whether it be Growth Track or community group or just getting back involved in church on a regular basis, take that step. Go for it. Do it. Do it. You'll never regret it. Draw closer to Jesus. And maybe somebody's here today and you've never even really connected with Jesus. Man, I was watching early news this morning. Lindy had it on and they're talking about the babies being born on the first day of the year. What an awesome opportunity to begin your spiritual birth on the first day of 2017 and never be the same. Right where you're at, just say, Jesus, I surrender. This isn't my life, it's yours. You gave it to me. This isn't my stuff, it's all yours. You own it all. You created it all. You gave me the hands to work for the paycheck I get. It's all yours. Come into my life. Lead me, guide me, direct me. Be the center of all that I am. I choose to follow you. I've decided to prioritize your presence in my life today. You pray that right now and then jump in on the next step. Man, watch what God does. Your next step would be Growth Track. It'd be plugging in with other believers, by the way. For all of us, what are we going to do? We're just going to choose to survive this year. We're going to take a step. Experience the best year yet. Because we're experiencing the best year spiritually. Father, love you, bless you, praise you, exalt your name, and we need you. We're dependent. You're great. Give us the strength to take these three steps, to make these three decisions in 2017 and see the greatness of the Lord our God in our midst. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I'm going to ask you to stand up. I'm going to ask you to sing with all you got as we make this commitment. Thank you.